Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It is Tuesday, September 10th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. We have our first big waiver run of the 2024 fantasy football season coming at us tonight. Talk about a few kind of tips in terms of making drop decisions. If you're anything like me, in seasons past, you may have made some bad drop decisions. I certainly have done it a lot of times. So I found a few things that work for me. I'll share those with you on the show today. I'll go through some of the top waiver ads. I'm not doing the entire list this year. If you want the entire list, there are 51 players, including a couple defenses as well, over at ftnfantasy.com, the new waiver wire rankings tool. People are really digging it. I wasn't sure. I got some big time pushback when I told people that I wasn't going to write the article anymore. But then when they saw the tool, and when they saw the tool was up yesterday, not even today, I think they liked it. So if you want to go check that out, plus so much more, ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Want to run through some of the news, though. Real quick takeaway from last night. Jordan Mason was pretty good, no doubt about it. This is why we handcuff, but he also let it slip that he found out he was the starter on Friday. So yeah, a little bit shaky there on the 49ers side, but it's also shaky from the NFL because the NFL has a very loose questionable tag. Like the definition of what's questionable is very, very loose. So I don't know if anything ultimately comes from this, but I really hope the NFL tightens up what is questionable, what is doubtful. Because really, if they knew he was out since Friday, then McCaffrey should have been listed as doubtful. Kyle Shanahan walked it back, said it wasn't necessarily true. But who knows? Either way, that was the big takeaway there. Let Brandon Ayuk, give him a little bit of time. He definitely did not look like he was in football shape, though he did play the whole game, so that was good. Give Brock Purdy the benefit of the doubt. On the other side, I mean, Brees, even in a bad game overall, like he wasn't particularly effective on the ground. He scored the rushing touchdown, but man, his ability as a pass catcher, it's going to bail us out. Like, I love three down backs for that reason. Garrett Wilson, heavy volume, better days will be ahead. Let's not overreact to Alan Lazard. Let's keep in mind one of those touchdowns was garbage time from Tyrod Taylor. And we also have Mike Williams waiting in the wings. You know, he was out there briefly, but as he ramps up, Alan Lazard's work likely will go down. So, just a couple quick thoughts there. Let me rip through some injury stuff. So regarding McCaffrey, there is a distinct possibility he misses another week. Now, is it time to panic if you have Christian McCaffrey? No, don't panic. It's fantasy football, first and foremost. Don't panic. Don't ever panic. But if your first instinct is Christian McCaffrey is banged up, I want to trade him away. Guess what? That is everybody's instinct right now. Everybody wants to sell. And you do not make a profit if you go out there and you sell low and you buy high, which is basically what everybody tries to do in trades anyway. So how do you make a profit? Well, you buy low and you sell high. This is not selling high on Christian McCaffrey. It's selling low. So you're going to get cents on the dollar for what you normally could get for him. Not the time to trade him. If you really want to trade him away, here's my advice. Wait until he comes back. Wait until he has a big week and then trade him away. But herein lies the problem, huh? Because I know you. I don't know who you are who's listening. I know I have friends and family who listen. I know there are some people in the industry who listen. And then there are a whole bunch of you that I've never met and maybe will never meet, right? I don't know who's listening right now, but I know you. Oh, I know you. If Christian McCaffrey goes out and has a huge week, you're not going to want to trade him away. So if your instinct now is to trade him away, I would not be doing that. I would be waiting. And in fact, I do have him in a league where I'm going to have to wait. And hopefully he comes back and hopefully he's the Christian McCaffrey of old. And if he is, that's when you may want to strike if you really want to wipe your hands clean of this. Because I don't know. I don't know if the injury is going to last through the season. I don't know if this is going to be nagging. I don't know if, this is the beginning of the end. I mean, we have to acknowledge that. It's not like McCaffrey is 22 years old. So if that applies to you, you know, hope, pray, whatever you got to do for him to come back out on the field and have a big game and then trade him away. But I know you're probably not going to want to do that. But that's the advice on McCaffrey. So be prepared for another week of Jordan Mason. He was actually so effective. And surprisingly enough, this one took me off guard. That was the most carries, 28, by any running back in on Kyle Shanahan's watch in San Francisco. Like, that's crazy. McCaffrey's most was 26. So he can handle a big workload. He may not be able to handle the post-game interviews very well, but he could handle the big workload. And obviously, he'll be in RB1 territory this week. If he is out there and you have McCaffrey, why is he out there and you have McCaffrey? But if he's out there regardless, he's one of the top ads of the week. I'll get into those in a moment. But yeah, I would expect more of the same from him out there. All right, so Nacua goes to injured reserve with a PCL strain. This is the injury he suffered in the preseason, re-aggravated it getting out there. So how do we handle this? Well, I think there's a few things that we need to say here. First and foremost, the most likely beneficiary, who obviously is not named Cooper Kupp, figures to be DeMarcus Robinson. I noted this in the pre-draft, the fantasy draft process. Like, he had a good connection with Stafford down the stretch, and he figures to slide into a slightly larger target share. When Nacua went out, we did see Tyler Johnson last week. So I would go like Robinson. I have in like the 7-15% range in terms of fab, number 7 in my rankings. I think Tyler Johnson warrants some consideration, but he's down at 31, 1-3%. I actually have Colby Parkinson at 23 because he did get some work. You know, he doesn't have sustainable value once Higbee comes back, but who knows when that is. So, you know, you're looking for a tight end streamer, you could do worse than Colby Parkinson. But the name I really wanted to get to here is somebody who I talked about a whole bunch in the preseason, Jordan Whittington. Rookie, day three guy, who had a heck of a preseason, but really had a barrier to playing time because Nacua, Kupp, and Robinson were really locked into place. And I had said in the preseason on this very podcast that it would take an injury to one of those guys to open the door. Well, we have an injury to one of those guys. Nacua is going to be out through, their bye is in week 6, so the earliest he could return is in week 7. That's a lot of opportunity for Whittington to get on the field. Now, there's no guarantee he's out there. This is one of those sneaky, under-the-radar, deeper pickups that sometimes we have to make in really competitive leagues to get an edge on our opponents. So I don't have him ranked highest. In fact, I have him ranked lowest of any Rams player to add this week. At 32, remember there's 51 players in rankings for waiver wire this week, but I don't mind it. Like, sneak in a couple percentage points on him and, you know, go out and get him. And I do show fab based on percent, and it's percent of your total budget. So if your total budget is $100 and I say 1-3%, then that's $1 to $3. It's not 1-3% of what you have left. It's of your total budget. So if it's $200, then you're talking $2 to $6, somewhere in that range. It is going to depend on your league. You know, if your league is very aggressive with bidding, then you might have to bump it up towards the top end of that range. I'm not saying, though, like, if it's $2 to $6, I'm not saying spend 15, like, that's too much. But, you know, if you go to 7, all right, whatever. But 15, no. If your league is conservative when it comes to fab bids, then go to the lower end of that range. You just have to know your league and your league tendencies. Remember, I always talk about playing your opponents, paying attention to what your opponents do. Well, this is part of that in season. So a sneaky one there with Nacua. So we did get word from Matt LaFleur on Jordan Love. The expectation is 3 weeks. He didn't go to IR, which is good, but the expectation is 3 weeks. Malik Willis will start at least this week. So if you're desperate in Superflex, Malik Willis is out there. He can add a little bit with his legs, but it's going to be a rough performance for passing purposes, very likely. The one thing I'm going to look for here for Jordan Love's sake, do they elevate Sean Clifford or do they sign him to the active roster? If they elevate him off of practice squad, you have a limited amount of times you can do that. So that actually bodes well for Jordan Love getting back sooner rather than later. We'll keep an eye on what they do. I have not seen anything one way or the other at this point. Another news item that came out is the team is preparing, The team being the Pittsburgh Steelers preparing as if Justin Fields is the starting quarterback this week. Russell Wilson is expected to be limited as we go through the week. So still not over that calf issue. Calves are going around for older players, huh? So another week of Justin Fields. I was not particularly impressed with him this week. They covered him up. I mean, he ran like Justin Fields, but they did cover him up. He would not be my priority pickup in a one quarterback league. I would be looking more likely if I'm really banged up, like, or if I'm, you know, facing Jordan Love missing time, or if I just swung and missed a quarterback. I'd look to see if Matthew Stafford is out there, if Baker Mayfield is out there, way before I'd go to Justin Fields. And the reason for it is simple. I don't know how long Justin Fields keeps that job. I'm fairly certain unless an injury happens to Matthew Stafford or Baker Mayfield, they're locked in. So more for the full season. And really, in a lot of ways, that is one of the things I'm looking at early on. Like, I'm not just trying to play the week-to-week game at a lot of positions. Like, defense, of course, I'm streaming. I'm playing the week-to-week game. You may have to play the week-to-week game at tight end. If that applies to you, I'm sorry. But if I'm looking for the long term here, you know, if I really swung and missed at quarterback, then I would much rather get guys that I have a lot more confidence are going to be the starters going forward. A few other quick notes. I mean, we're going to keep an eye on the backfield for Miami. They, of course, play on Thursday against Buffalo. Both Achane and Mostert were estimated DNP on Monday. No actual practice. We'll see what happens today. Achane dealing with an ankle, Mostert dealing with a chest issue. I never know with these guys, and I don't want to get ahead of myself on the first practice of the week. The first practice doesn't really tell us much. The third practice is what we're looking for. We'll get that indication on Wednesday, but just be aware of this. Like, if you are in a deeper league, a sneaky pickup would be Jalen Wright. And somebody had asked me, well, why are you recommending Wright and not Wilson? Well, because Jeff Wilson's Jeff Wilson, right? We know what Jeff Wilson is. Great first name, but otherwise he's just a guy. Jalen Wright, we don't know what he is other than really fast. Now, we know he was inactive last week. Hey, Achane was a healthy scratch at the beginning of the year too, or, well, not entirely healthy, but he was a scratch at the beginning of the year last year. I'm not saying that Wright is this year's Achane, but he does have explosive upside. And if one or both of those guys is out, all of a sudden he becomes super interesting. And the cool thing here is we won't know tonight. So you could slide in under the radar if Wright is available and get him on the cheap. I don't mind that move whatsoever. Again, I don't know what's going to happen with Achane or Mostert. I'm not panicking because, well, again, it's fantasy football. But either way, it's better to prepare for the worst and hope for the best than, you know, sort of the other way around. So that's how I'm handling that backfield. A few other quick injury notes. Lamar not at practice yesterday. Harbaugh won't tell us anything, so we're going to have to wait until tomorrow to see if Lamar is practicing tomorrow. Josh Allen will be good to go for Thursday, even though he had a hand issue. He's fine. Jordan Addison banged up still with that right ankle. That is worth paying attention to. Michael McDonald not telling us one way or the other about Kenneth Walker. I'll get to Charbonnet in a few minutes. Kevin Stefanski telling us Njoku is week to week. No surprises there. Jake Ferguson all of a sudden looks like he could play this week. So there's that. And lastly, Roma Dunze, MCL sprain. He is being called week to week. So he's going to miss a little bit of time. If I have Roma Dunze, I'm likely just stashing him on a bench, unless it's a short bench league, in which case, if he does miss a couple weeks, that's prime real estate to be taken up with a guy who's not there. And that's one of the main reasons why I hate short bench leagues. You have to let go of talent. Like, you identified the talent. Yeah, he has an injury. It's like bad luck for a moment. But if you have the right size bench, you could sustain that time with him on the bench. If you have four bench spots, you can't do that. Like, it really penalizes the good players. Drives me nuts, man. I don't play in those leagues. All right, so rip through all that. Real quick, some thoughts on waivers and drops. The number one question with waivers, would you drop player X? I can't answer those questions accurately for you. I know that, again, fantasy players have been taught to ask a fantasy analyst, would you do this, and then get the answer and then do what the analyst said. If you ask me, would you drop player A for player B? That's all you ask me. I don't know. I don't know what your league size is. I don't know what your roster requirements are. I don't know how many players, who's available on waivers, who else is there. I don't know who else is on your roster. I have so many pieces of information that you know that I don't know. So instead of just blindly telling you what to do, which I don't think that does you any good, I respect you way too much to do that to you, by the way. Instead of just doing that, why don't we talk through how to make that decision? So first and foremost, one of the things that I will see is people will get to this point of the year, they'll draft one quarterback, they'll check that box on draft day, and then after week one, they'll completely forget about the idea of just rostering one quarterback because there's no such thing as a backup quarterback in fantasy football. You cannot put your backup in if your starter gets hurt in the middle of a game. You have a second quarterback, sure, and if you went safe and upside, fine. You know, roster two quarterbacks, you're doing so for a reason. I like to let that safe and upside marinate for a couple weeks to see what we have. Like, we don't know if Caleb Williams is going to hit or not. We don't know if the upside is there or not. After week one, but I'm willing to give him a couple weeks, right? But if I drafted Dak Prescott or Brock Purdy or whoever, then I'm not rostering a second quarterback. Now, if there is somebody out there and you want to pick that somebody up, here's the question I would ask myself. Am I willing to drop Dak Prescott or Brock Purdy or whoever my quarterback is for this guy on waivers? And if the answer is no, I'm not doing it. What about the wide receiver seven on your bench? Well, didn't you draft the wide receiver seven for a reason? And that's sort of the other point here. You drafted him for depth. Depth is very important. Like, sure, you may not be, quote, starting that guy right now, but who knows what happens in the future? Who knows what happens when we reach the bye week gauntlet? Who knows who's the next Puka Nacua to miss time due to injury, or worse, to go out for the season due to injury? You don't know that. You drafted the depth for a reason. Don't deplete the depth. You know, we bail on the strategy just because we're out of week one now. You know, it's that old, like, I made this reference on my SiriusXM show, but it bears repeating. In Dumb and Dumber, you know, like, you've had this extra pair of gloves this whole time and you didn't tell me? It's like, yeah, we're in the Rockies. Like, we're in the Rockies, people. Like, we're in the Rockies. We need depth at wide receiver and running back because we start more of those guys than any other position. We do not need depth in a one quarterback league at quarterback because your waiver wire, as you are showing right now, is going to have guys on it basically every week. So if you're willing to pull the ripcord on the quarterback, go for it. Same thing applies with tight end. If you have Mark Andrews and you're asking, should I pick up player X? Are you willing to drop Mark Andrews? And the reason why I do this, I'm not going to tell you how to play this game. You play the game however you want to play it. But the reason why I do this is I know the experience of frustration. I know what it feels like when you have to make a start-sit decision and you make the wrong start-sit decision every week at tight end or at quarterback. I know what that does to the psyche. I know what that does to decision-making going forward. You're always going to second-guess everything. Everything's going to become agonizing. Everything's going to become painful. And this game should not be agonizing or painful. It should be fun. So I avoid that. If I'm going to, you know, make more decisions, guess what? I'm going to make more wrong decisions. So I do not want to roster that second guy. So if I'm willing to drop Mark Andrews for whoever, and that includes his teammate, then go for it. If I'm not, then I'm staying put. Fortunately, I don't have any Mark Andrews, so I don't have to worry about that, at least in my redraft leagues. So the third thing, how do you decide to drop a player? Like, let's say you have that wide receiver, you want to drop him for another wide receiver. How do you decide that? First thing you can do is use rest of season rankings. We're working on getting those as we speak here up on the website. But I have rest of season rankings every single week. I update those on Tuesdays. I don't update those every single day, by the way, because really the main purpose for them is to help you with waivers, but you can look to rest of season and see who's higher in rankings. And, again, you don't have to agree with the rankings. Like, if you disagree and you think another guy's higher, then go for it. Like, actually, I encourage that. But either way, you can look to rest of season rankings, or you can just figure out on your own if the juice is worth the squeeze. I have this player. I drafted him for this reason. After week one, I feel fill in the blank. Like, if you drafted, and I don't think a lot of people did, but if you drafted like somebody like Marvin Mims, probably not feeling good now because I don't think he's going to see much of the field this season. unless some crazy injuries happen there. And that's saying something because they're kind of light at wide receiver. You know, if you drafted Blake Corum, are you second guessing that? Now, Sean McVay did come out and say that, you know, that wasn't the game plan. It was the game circumstances, and they did want to get Corum more involved. So I'm not going to take week one at face value and freak out over Corum. But how do you feel? It doesn't matter how I feel. It's how do you feel? Because it's ultimately your team. I made a lot of drops in the past where I didn't think it through. I just saw the hot waiver ad. I dropped a player, and then it would come back around 4 or 5 weeks later, that player would be blowing up. And the guy who I added, even if they were good, whatever, I still cost myself. So that's how I go through those processes. I'm going to really avoid the onesie position, rostering two guys at the onesie position, unless I came into the season, like I said, with safe and upside. I do not want to deplete depth. I don't want to do this thing, too, that people do where they're like, oh, well, I have six receivers and five running backs, but I want this running back, so I'm going to drop a receiver. Like, dude, you just depleted your depth at wideout. Not good. You were already, by my account, a little thin, and now you really thinned it out. But, Jeff, you only start three. I guarantee you don't only start three wide receivers this season. I guarantee more than three wide receivers on your roster will be in starting lineups for you. You need depth. So anyway, hopefully that helps you there. Let me rip through one more thing here. So I wanted to rip through some of the top options. I realize that some of these guys may not be out there, but like this group really shouldn't be out there after this week. So make sure you're checking your waiver wire for these guys. If you want the full list, again, ftnfantasy.com. But J.K. Dobbins is at the top of the list. If you play on ESPN, he's probably rostered, 77% rostered. On Yahoo, for some reason, he's 50% rostered. So I would definitely give it a peek. I don't expect blowing up, J.K. Dobbins blowing up every single week. I don't expect that, of course. But he did blow up. And we do have to recognize he's on a run-first team. There are going to be some weeks I still think that it's going to be Gus Edwards, but I'm still going to make sure that J.K. Dobbins is not available any longer. Isaiah Likely is number two. So I'd go like 25 to 50% fab. I have fab recommendations for every single player in the waiver wire rankings tool, but I'd go 25 to 50 on Dobbins. I'd go 15 to 30 on Likely. Is Likely going to be the next breakout tight end? No clue. Honestly, I wish I could say, oh yeah, he's definite. I don't pretend to be the fantasy crystal ball. Like, I definitely don't. Some people do, not my style. I wish I could tell you. I could tell you this, though. That was not a fluke performance. We have seen him already have big-time performances at the end of last season. And I do think that defenses are going to have to account for him more, which could actually help Mark Andrews out because Mark Andrews gets a ton of double teams. So I don't think we're going to see 100-plus receiving performances week in and week out, but I don't think that's the last time we see one of those from Isaiah Likely. So I would go out and grab him if, you know, especially if you're like stuck with the Freiermuths, the Cole Kmets, like those dudes are in rotations. They should not be on fantasy rosters right now. If you're stuck with that, yeah, I would go out and I'd spend some dough on Isaiah Likely, 15 to 30%. He is widely available, only 29% rostered on Yahoo. Get this, on ESPN, 9%. I'll see if I can add Sleeper. Some people have been asking about Sleeper. I have to find an easy way to do that. I can't do that manually. It just take too darn long. But we'll see. Either way, though, ESPN and Yahoo give us a good sense of where the industry is. Jordan Mason is next, 10 to 20%. I'd love to say more. Like, if you told me right now Christian McCaffrey is going to like go to IR or something, then yeah, I'd be right there with J.K. Dobbins. Like, not IR long term, but like even designated to return. He is not as of right now, but I would be higher on Mason. As it is, you're getting a guy who certainly it seems like you're going to be able to start this week. You probably will be able to start at other points this season. And it's like super, super high implied value with some current real value. So it is worth 10 to 20%. I think somebody's going to way overspend on him if he is available. And he is actually in 81% of ESPN leagues, which is crazy. Only 42% of Yahoo leagues, but people are going to spend like nuts on him. Rashid Shaheed is available enough that he made the cut. My cut is 70%. And yes, J.K. Dobbins is over 70% on ESPN, but he was still widely available on Yahoo, so that's why he made the cut. But Shaheed playing an every down role, we know the big play upside, a little bit boom or bust, but I don't mind that for wide receiver depth. Brandon Cooks, same thing, 10 to 20%. He's available in like 2/3 of fantasy leagues right now. He's an every down wide receiver, caught a touchdown this past week. Also, like his teammate Rico Dowdle should be on benches at least. He's in a 50-50 timeshare with Ezekiel Elliott. And Elliott did not look particularly good in that game against the Cleveland Browns. DeMarcus Robinson, as I mentioned earlier, is a top 10 guy. He's going to get plenty of work at least through week 7. Now, keep in mind, it's a week 6 bye for the Rams. But still, you're going to have like a, I would say at least flex worthy, maybe wide receiver 3. I have not done projections yet. Projections will be up a little later today, the first week of the year, like week 2 with waivers and all that stuff. Everything takes a little bit longer. But, you know, if you're an FTN subscriber, just be patient and then you'll see them up there by like, you know, later on today. So, yeah, we'll see where he comes in. But a lot of opportunity for him. Jaleel McLaughlin, 7 to 15% on him and Robinson, by the way. He out-carried Javonte Williams, and he was the early down back. Now, that may not stick, but again, I just like the juice with this kid right now. I wasn't sure where I would land on him in the pre-draft process, like for a fantasy draft season. But now after watching that game back and seeing his role, I don't hate it. Zach Charbonnet, 5 to 10%. He is available in enough leagues to warrant consideration here. I don't think Kenneth Walker misses any time, but the nice thing about Charbonnet, I'm not viewing him as a handcuff. I'm viewing him as a guy with at least moderate real value. He could potentially be a flex guy at points. Like, yeah, he touched the ball 10 times this past week. So moderate real value with implied value as well, because the implied value is there if Kenneth Walker misses any time. And I don't think he does, but if he does, Charbonnet all of a sudden becomes very interesting. I said I was going to do 10. Let's do 11 since the 10 and 11 guys are pretty close. Tank Bigsby and Bucky Irving, both 5 to 10%. Both exceeded expectations. Both are backups, right? Bigsby behind ETN, Irving behind Rashad White, but both of them exceeded expectations. They both looked really stinking good this past week. Like, I was shocked at how good Tank Bigsby looked. Like, I liked him at the college level, and don't get me wrong, but he just didn't quite look like this last year. So everything seems to have clicked for him. ETN made some mistakes. I don't think it's enough that you would be concerned ETN's going to lose his job or anything like that. But we could see a little bit more Bigsby. He should be on rosters, and so should Bucky Irving. Rashad White is just, you know, he's not efficient. He's a really good pass catcher, but, you know, the door is open there for, you know, a role like this for Irving each week. So like an 8 to 12 touch a game type of guy. And that is, you know, it's moderate real value, and there is plenty of implied value behind Rashad White. Again, if you want the whole list, I'm not going to just rattle it off on this podcast. You got to get it at ftnfantasy.com. Wanted to check in just quickly here on email, therantpodjr@gmail.com. And remember, this isn't a start sit email. You can get all my start sit advice by looking at my rankings at ftnfantasy.com. I think I've said that URL a few times on the pod today. Hey, I got to promote it, right? So Brant checking in, and he said he crapped the bed in one of his fantasy leagues, but he actually was doing quite well in the other one. He said he's up nearly 3 points. Now, this was a question regarding last night, but I still wanted to get to it today, by the way. So he said he had Garrett Wilson in his flex spot. He said, not sure when points get reviewed, but would it be reasonable to bench Wilson to avoid an unfortunate fumble, negative points, etc.? So I wouldn't have done that, but I know some people like to. I think the only position that I really think it's worth doing this is defense, because defense can rack up a lot of negative points. For a wide receiver, you'd have to have like a Kadarius Toney type game to have that many negative points as a wide receiver. So no, I wouldn't have. And obviously it worked out just fine. But why I wanted to bring this up is this whole, you know, the idea of any of the stat corrections. So those come from Elias Sports Bureau, and they come in to correct any mistakes in the box scores. Some people will say they lost because of a stat correction. And well, you just lost. It wasn't because of a stat correction. People will blame these things, but the reality is, don't we want the stats to be right? Like, I would much rather have the stats correct. I can take a loss. I'm an adult, but I'd rather the stats be correct. So that happens. Usually those will be all in place by, you know, early on Thursday. So sometimes, yeah, it does come back to bite you, but really the stats are correct then. and there's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, otherwise regarding this, like, yeah, I would only pull the guy. A, it has to be legal in your league. Some leagues have rules against that, but I'd only pull the guy if it was, or pull the position if it was team defense. Otherwise, nah, I'd just keep the wide receiver in there, especially if you have that much of a lead. 3 points is pretty hefty. You know, it's really rare to get -3 out of a guy. You know, you'd have to have a couple fumbles and no yards and no catches. And like, I don't even know how that would work. Because think about it, like, if you're in a PPR and you fumble on a reception, it just cancels out. Like, that -1 cancels out the reception, so you're back to zero. It's really hard to get -3 points if you are a wide receiver. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. Remember, I'm not on this feed tomorrow, so go check out the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast feed for me over there. Then we'll be back on Thursday and Friday on this feed right here. Follow along with me on Twitter at Jeff Ratcliffe, on Instagram at Jeff Ratcliffe, and go check out that website that I said about 50 times if you want the waiver wire rankings. Attack waivers tonight. Don't do anything stupid, though, okay? Don't do anything stupid. All right. I'll be back on this feed on Thursday. Until then, I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.